If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
This episode of Amateur Traveler is sponsored by MyTravelCreditCard.com. Check out MyTravelCreditCard.com for some travel credit cards that we have chosen just for you. One card, for instance, that we're featuring right now will get you 60,000 reward points, will get you into hundreds of airport lounges for free. We'll also save you $200 with Uber credits and up to $200 in airline fees as well. For your travel credit card needs, go to MyTravelCreditCard.com. I got my bags packed on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. Looking real good in my passport photo. Oh, no. Amateur Traveler, episode 677. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about museums and shopping and a castle, shrines and theme parks and railroads as we go to Nagoya, Japan. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Nagoya. I'd like to welcome the show, Lena Yamaguchi, who is coming to us from NagoyaFoodie.com and coincidentally has come to talk to us about Nagoya, Japan. Lena, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
And people are quickly going to figure out that you don't have a Japanese accent, despite the fact that your last name is recently been changed to Yamaguchi. You're originally from Munich.
Yeah, I'm from Germany, and I just got married to my Japanese husband.
And would it be a far reach to guess that that might have been what brought you to Japan?
Actually, no, okay. But it's what brought me to Nagoya. So okay. I'm in Japan for a couple of years, for more than 4 years. And I met my husband in Tokyo, actually.
Okay.
So we recently, well, a couple of months ago, we moved to Nagoya.
Excellent. And why should someone follow in your footsteps and travel, not necessarily move to Nagoya?
I totally recommend everyone move to Nagoya. But before you decide to move to Nagoya, maybe you want to visit first. I moved here and I realized that not that many people come to Nagoya, which is really, really sad for me because Nagoya is the fourth largest city in Japan. It's centrally located. So it's like right between Tokyo to the east and Osaka and Kyoto, like those kind of places. So it has a super great location and people just kind of skip it over.
And I don't know if we've quite answered this question of why should they not skip it.
There's loads to do in Nagoya. Mm-hmm. If you're into history, you can learn a lot there because it's actually quite important as the birthplace for many famous Japanese warlords.
Okay.
It's also very important as an industrial hub. So Nagoya is actually where Toyota comes from.
Okay.
So it's basically the biggest car maker in the world, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're into cars, you can learn a lot about cars here in Nagoya. There are like multiple museums about Toyota and the history and the newest cars and everything here. And then there's also the local food, which is specific to Nagoya, and it's super delicious. So it's different from other Japanese food, and okay. I totally recommend to check that out as well.
Excellent. Well, where should we start in Nagoya?
I would start where every traveler starts, Nagoya Station. Okay. So no matter how you reach Nagoya from other parts of Japan or from abroad, you arrive in Nagoya Station. And it's super easy to get around Nagoya. You either take the subway or you take a bus. And I would say the first stop should be close to Nagoya Station. It's the Toyota Commemorative Museum of Industry and Technology.
Okay.
That's the official name. It's like the Toyota Museum. And there you learn about Toyota.
Which has historically made more than just cars.
Yes. So when I first went there, I was so surprised to learn that Toyota actually started out as a company that makes textiles. Mm-hmm. So before cars, they made clothing and textiles for different things. And they started making cars in the beginning of the 20th century.
Oh, okay. I didn't even actually know it was that far back. Okay.
Yeah.
And you mentioned we were going to get there on the bus or the subway.
Yes.
In terms of getting around for those of us who speak what really amounts to no Japanese.
Actually, since in 2020, the Olympics are coming to Japan.
Uh-huh.
They've been doing a lot of work changing all the signage and everything to English. So it's much easier now than it used to be.
Interesting.
And Nagoya also, I feel like, has a lot of English available now. And the subway and also the bus system is not hard to use. So I feel like you don't really have to speak Japanese to travel in Nagoya.
And should we be getting a pass if we're going to be there for 3-4 days or...
Yes, you should.
Okay.
So there's a bus pass, which is quite cheap. It's about $5 for the whole day.
Okay.
There is also a metro pass, which is also something like that. And there's also a combination ticket for subway and bus.
And we get them at a train station would be someplace that we could get any of those?
Yes. Like okay. I said, you start in Nagoya Station, yep. And that is also where you get your one day or weekend passes. Or I think there are also like 3 or 5 day passes.
Okay, excellent. So we start with the Toyota Museum. Is there anything specific we should point out to people that they should make sure that they don't miss in the Toyota Museum before we move on?
Yeah, so there are guided tours in English inside the museum.
Okay.
And I feel like that's the best way to really learn about mm-hmm. the textile part and also to learn about the car part.
And do they still make textiles? I honestly don't know the answer to that.
Yes.
Okay.
Toyota is a gigantic company with mm-hmm. so many sub-companies. And there are a couple of those companies.
That I knew. I just didn't know which ones they kept from the original ones. Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of those companies make textiles even now, but they are mainly focused on car textiles.
Okay. Interesting.
So they make car seats and stuff like that.
Excellent.
But you can learn about that at the museum.
And what are we doing after the museum?
I would say head to Nagoya Castle.
Okay.
So there are loads and loads of castles all around Japan. Probably people who have ever traveled to Japan know that. Even people who have not.
When you say loads and loads, I thought there were 8.
No, there are so many.
Oh, really? Okay. Like, I don't
basically
know.
Basically, in every city... Every bigger city, even small cities, there is usually a castle. Not necessarily the original one.
Sure. No, Osaka, for instance, is definitely rebuilt.
Yes, mm-hmm. for example. And Nagoya is also rebuilt. Mm-hmm. But what makes this castle so interesting and much better than other castles, in my opinion, they rebuilt, it's called Honmaru Palace. It's a building completely made from wood. And they rebuilt it using the original building techniques. Mm-hmm. So no modern...
No nails even, I think. Weren't these built without nails?
That's a very good question.
I could be wrong about that, but I was thinking that Japanese castle building techniques were a peg system. And again, I was completely wrong about the yes. numbers. So, you know, there's no reason we should trust my information about this.
Well, it sounds kind of right, but I can't guarantee that they didn't use any nails. Okay. So I don't know. But it's really beautiful, all in light woods inside. And the wall paintings are in gold and images of tigers, and it's really impressive.
And what I'm seeing is, indeed, they were largely using a mortise and tenon joints, no nails.
Okay.
Excellent. And while we're at the Nagoya Castle, are we doing a tour? Are we doing it on our own?
I would recommend doing it on your own. You don't really need a tour.
Okay.
You can do an audio guide on your phone. But mm-hmm. I don't really feel that you need to have all the information. I would just go there for the visuals. Okay. And just
great Instagram spot is what you're telling me.
Yeah. Well, there are lots of people. So if you're a really good Instagrammer and you can erase the people in the background, then maybe.
There we go. Excellent. Where should we go next?
Yeah, I think it all depends on what kind of person you are. So we just talked about a little bit older history, castle and that stuff, then a little bit newer history, Toyota. So if you want to learn a little bit more about the history and all the things that you couldn't see at the castle, because it's basically just a building and nothing much of historic items there anymore.
Okay.
You could head to the Tokugawa Art Museum, which mm-hmm. has all the artifacts that are not in the castle anymore, like swords and armor, tea ceremony utensils, and also theater costumes and masks and stuff like that.
Okay. And that would be artifacts from the Tokugawa family. That was
yes,
where the shoguns
exactly.
came from during the Edo period. Okay.
There's actually a garden next to it, which is called Tokugawa Garden, which okay. is like a Japanese landscape garden. And mm-hmm. if you are into gardens, it's a really nice place. There is a pond, and you can just relax and think about whatever you learned at the Tokugawa Art Museum. That's a really nice place to have a little break. I would go shopping.
Okay.
Nagoya has a district which is called Osu. And this district has a network of shopping streets, which are roofed over, so like arcades, and you can buy kimono, for example, or cheap clothing, stuff like that, cheap brand stuff. They have a lot of secondhand stores there, so you can buy cheap souvenirs from Japan, clothing and things like that.
Okay.
But it's not only for shopping, it's also amazing for food.
Do you have a favorite shop there before we get into the food? We're going to get to the food, don't worry.
Yes, there is a secondhand shop. Actually, it's three mm-hmm. shops. They are all called Komehyo, and it's basically the biggest secondhand shops there are. So one is specialized in kimono, one is specialized in musical instruments, and one is specialized in brand items.
Excellent. And then you've been trying to get us to food. So let's talk about what food is unique to Nagoya.
Yes.
Because I do not know.
I've been dying to talk about food. Japanese cuisine is traditionally, well, a bowl of rice and different kinds of side dishes made from fish or vegetables, mm-hmm. some fermented stuff like natto, for example, which is famous for being really disgusting.
Okay.
Have you ever tried it?
I can't say that I have.
It's fermented soybeans with a very strong smell, and okay. it's kind of slimy. Well, anyways, that's not a typical Nagoya food. That's just a typical Japanese food.
Mm-hmm.
Nagoya has really some dishes that you can only find there, and some restaurants that have originated in Nagoya that are now popular all over the country, but originally from Nagoya. And I'll just start with one, okay? There is something called miso nikomi udon. I know it's a mouthful. Mm-hmm. Miso nikomi udon. So udon are thick white noodles made from wheat flour.
Uh-huh.
And they can be found all over the country. What's special about the miso nikomi udon in Nagoya is that it's in a dark brown broth made from miso.
Which is
for all
soy
those people who have
based.
Never. Yes, exactly. So there is miso soup, which mm-hmm. is served with basically every meal in Japan. It's a fermented soy paste. Mm-hmm. And there is a special kind of miso from the region around Nagoya, which is called Hachō miso. And this miso is fermented for much longer than the usual miso, which gives it a much stronger flavor.
Okay.
And a much darker color. Hmm. And this miso is used in miso nikomi udon. To be honest, it doesn't look like much because, like I said, it's white noodles and brown broth. Mm-hmm. But the taste is very unique, but very, very delicious, especially in fall and in winter when it's really cold outside. And you come in to the restaurant and you get this dish served in an earthenware pot, basically. And it's just really, really delicious, has a very strong, unique flavor. And it's just something people from Western countries have never tasted before. So I really recommend people to try it.
And what else should we try while we're in Nagoya?
So there are other dishes made from this miso. Just mm-hmm. to give you an overview, there is something that's called miso katsu. So it uses the same dark miso, and it's poured over a deep-fried pork cutlet.
Okay.
And that's also really delicious, and I can highly recommend it.
So that's your Wiener Schnitzel meets miso soup.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's what it is.
Okay.
There are other dishes that I would recommend. They're like small dumplings, mm-hmm. is maybe what you would call it in English. So they're little sweets made from sweet potato, rice flour, and sugar, and then they are steamed. And these little dumplings are called onimanju. And these onimanju are local sweets from Nagoya, and they're super nice just as a snack in between, especially if you're doing a long day of sightseeing. You can just buy one, eat it, and get an energy boost from all the sugar in it. And
okay.
That's what I recommend to do. Just when you're feeling you have a sugar low, you go buy an onimanju and then you're good for another couple of hours of sightseeing.
And most of these things, like the different dishes you named at first, would be sit-down restaurants. Are there street food that we should be aware of? Was the sweet, for instance, something we're going to get and walk away with? Or is that, again, something that is a sit-down dish?
The first ones I mentioned, they are served at restaurants. Uh-huh. And there are some famous restaurants that serve those dishes. So the miso nikomi udon, you want to go to a shop that is called Yamamotoya. I know, okay. Long name, Yamamotoya. And they actually invented the miso nikomi udon as we know it. And they have lots of different shops all over the city. So there's one next to Nagoya Castle, for example. There's also one at Nagoya Station. So if you are in that area, you can look it up on Google Maps and you can find Yamamotoya and have your first try at miso nikomi udon, for example.
Okay.
The onimanju that I mentioned is, like you said, something you don't eat sitting down. You just buy it and snack. And it's actually sold in so many department store, confectionery shops, and everything that basically sells sweets in Nagoya sells onimanju. So you can find them everywhere.
And I noticed you did not translate onimanju for us.
Okay. So the story of the onimanju. Oni is what the Japanese call devils or demons. Mm-hmm. And they are human-looking shapes, but with like big teeth and horns and mm-hmm. like a grim face. And they carry around a club. And those oni manju are said to represent or look like the horns and those clubs of the oni. And that's where the name comes from. But I'm having difficulty seeing the similarity.
I'm looking at a picture of oni manju and I'm thinking, okay, well, that's not what I would have thought of. But
exactly. So an oni manju is basically a bright yellow little blob with... Yeah, it's not smooth, but there's like little...
It's lumpy.
Yeah, it's lumpy.
Lumpy sweetness is how I think it was described to
doesn't,
me.
It doesn't look dangerous,
no.
demonish,
no.
or anything
I would agree
else.
With you on that.
So Excellent. Don't know.
Anything else we want to recommend for food before we get back to what we're seeing, if we've taken enough of a lunch break right now?
Yes, because I am offering food tours.
Ah.
So if you ever come to Nagoya and you really want to get into the food, then I recommend you join me on a food tour where I will introduce to you many other dishes that I haven't mentioned, but you will definitely get to try miso nikomi udon and oni manju on my tour.
Excellent. And then what else should we see while we're in Nagoya?
If you like the Japanese culture, visiting temples and shrines and stuff like that, mm-hmm. then I really recommend a visit to Atsuta Jingu, which is the most important Shinto shrine in Nagoya. Mm-hmm. And it's actually one of the most important shrines all over Japan. The temple is said to be almost 2,000 years old.
Okay.
Now I said temple, but it's actually a shrine because... Mm-hmm.
Temples would be Buddhist and shrines would be Shinto, right?
Buddhists are temples, shrines are Shinto. Exactly. So the shrine is almost 2,000 years old. And it is said, so the story is, there was the sun goddess. Her name is Amaterasu. And she is basically the most important goddess in the Shinto belief. She gave a sword to the emperor, to the Japanese emperor, which gave him the right to rule over Japan.
Okay.
And this sword is housed inside the Atsuta Jingu shrine.
Okay. Got it.
So, unfortunately, it's not open to the public. So, you just have to believe that the sword is okay. there. You don't actually get to see it. But
all right.
I'm not suggesting go there to see the sword or anything because you won't. But I'm suggesting to go there just because it's a really nice shrine. There is a little path, a winding path that leads by different holy places, like really old trees and a little spring. And when you pass, you can basically make a prayer, make a wish. That's what the Japanese people do. They throw in a little coin, offer it to the gods, basically, and say, I don't know, please, I want to find a lovely wife or something. And then they hope that the gods will hear them and will make their wish come true.
Okay.
So it's a really nice place just to be in nature and to experience the spiritual side of Japan in Nagoya.
And is there any truth to the rumor that your now husband went there and wished for a lovely German wife?
I can't speak to that. I don't know.
Well, and while you're talking about shrines and temples, are there other ones that you would recommend? I mean, usually there are far more than we want to go to all of them, depending on what city
yes.
we're in. But are there other ones that we should take note of?
If you're already in Osu district, which mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier for shopping, there is a very famous temple there, which is called Osu Kannon. So this one Buddhist temple, it's a really nice place, a red, big building. Mm-hmm. I would say it's quite impressive. And if you're already in Osu, then you might as well check it out, basically.
Excellent. Where else should we see in or around Nagoya?
Yeah, so I suggest lots of day trips,
okay.
actually. So there's so much to see in the central Japan area, which is where Nagoya is located, that in my opinion, you go to Nagoya and you spend 2 days there, and then you could spend another week just exploring the surroundings. So there's really a lot to see there.
Okay.
And there are even some places that are much more popular than Nagoya, something I don't understand, but fine. If you head north from Nagoya, mm-hmm. you get into the Japanese Alps, and there are two cities, or better, towns, mm-hmm. that I would really recommend. One is called Shirakawa-go.
Okay.
And the other one is called Takayama.
And these happen to be UNESCO World Heritage Sites, if I remember correctly.
Exactly.
Okay.
So they are just beautiful little towns, completely different from each other, completely different from Nagoya, so you won't get bored.
Completely different from anything else I have seen in Japan.
Yes, exactly. Let's first talk about Shirakawa-go for a second. Mm-hmm. It's just a little village in a valley, rice fields, and those wooden houses with like thatched roofs.
A-frame-like houses. looks like a place that gets a lot of snow from the to look
yes,
at the houses.
Yes, so if you visit in winter, mm-hmm. it's beautiful. Everything is covered in a thick white blanket, and there are actually like some light up events at night. It's beautiful, but I have to say I visited in summer. Mm-hmm. And it's also amazing because everything is green and lush, and it's just so nice to visit at, I think, at any time of the year. So you don't have to be there in winter to enjoy Shirakawa-go.
From the pictures I've seen, it looks like if you squint and didn't realize you were looking at rice fields, you could easily think you were looking at someplace in the Tyrol, or from the A-frame houses and the trees and things like that. It's not my picture of Japan.
I see where you're coming from. Yeah, it could be something in Austria or something. Mm-hmm. Or sure, why not?
Just humor the host. I get it. Okay, excellent. And the other one,
Takayama, is a little sake brewing town. So if you're into Japanese sake, or how do the English pronounce it? Sake, mm-hmm. Japanese alcohol. Then you can learn a lot in Takayama. There are different breweries. There are little breweries with hundreds of years of history. And if you visit a shop there, they will make you drink samples until you find one that you like. That's what happened to my dad.
So you don't have to have any interest at all in history or UNESCO World Heritage Sites to visit Takayama and enjoy it, is really what I'm hearing you say.
You don't have to, but it's a lovely little town, mm-hmm. with like those breweries. They have traditionally those old wooden houses. So mm-hmm. there are some streets in Takayama that are especially beautiful because of the old houses that line the streets. Okay. And that's really Instagram worthy. So if you want to take pictures in Japan and put them on Instagram, Takayama is the place to go.
And is it easy to get there from Nagoya via the train?
Yes. So there is a direct train that goes there. And people who have ever traveled to Japan, they probably know. For those that don't, I'm going to tell you. There is a pass that's called Japan Rail Pass. Mm-hmm. It's a tourist train pass, and it allows you to use as many JR, Japan Rail trains, mm-hmm. as you like, in a specific period of time. So, for example, 1 week or 2 week or three
and
weeks.
You must get it before you come to the country.
Which is actually not true, because you can get it in Japan.
Oh,
as
did
well.
That change, or is that just a common rumor that has never been true?
That rule changed.
Oh,
so if you forgot to buy your pass in advance, then you can have it delivered to your hotel in Japan as well now.
Hmm, interesting.
If you order it online.
Online,
and
okay.
have it delivered. But it's always better to be prepared, so I would totally suggest to get it in advance, because it takes a little bit of time to arrive if you order it. And okay. this pass will allow you to go from Nagoya to Takayama for free.
Okay. Well, you prepaid for the pass.
Yep. Yes. Okay, not for free. But included in that pass.
Included in that pass, yep. We definitely had the Japan rail pass when we were in Japan last year. It was the most recent time that I did one. You definitely want to plan it for a time period when you are doing more traveling. You don't want to get the pass and then sit in Tokyo taking the subway for
That's
a while.
That's true.
So.
Yes. So if you plan to go around Japan mm-hmm. to different cities, then it's definitely something that's worth getting.
Excellent. And you had a couple other side trips for us, it sounded like.
Yes. So other directions. If you head to the southwest, there is Ise Jingu, which is the most important Shinto shrine in Japan.
Okay.
So the Ise Grand Shrine. This is where the most important goddess, sun goddess Amaterasu, is enshrined. And it's a very huge area with different shrines. It's just a lovely place to visit.
Okay. And it is across the Ise Bay from Nagoya.
Yes, it is.
And the fact that it's the Ise Bay and not the Nagoya Bay is probably a hint that it's an important place.
That's true. Never thought about that. That's definitely something I would suggest as a side trip. It's especially nice to do this just after the new year. So beginning of January. Because that's the time when all the Japanese basically visit the shrine for the first shrine visit of the year. And it's something I've done before in the past. And well, it's crazy because there are lots of people there, but it's also an amazing experience to make your first wish for the new year at the Ise Grand Shrine.
Excellent. Where else should we go?
We haven't really talked about any activities that you can do with children. Mm-hmm. So I suggest if you are a family with small children, then you can visit Legoland Japan, which has opened a couple of years ago south of Nagoya.
Okay.
And there's also sea life close to there and a train park where you can learn about the super fast Shinkansen bullet trains.
This is the railroad museum that has some of the older Shinkansen trains?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a train buff, so I actually thought that looked fascinating to see some of the evolution of the Shinkansen, which are amazing trains anyway, as well as some of the other trains they have there.
Yeah, and apparently you can also do those train simulators where you can actually drive a train.
Okay.
So that might be something fun for people who are into trains or for children.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're with a family and you want to do a day trip from Nagoya with them, I think this area around Legoland and the trains and sea life, that would be very interesting for them.
Well, and I had seen the train museum, the railroad museum, because the Japan's official guide for Nagoya, japan-guide.com, put that as the number one thing to see in Nagoya, which surprised me.
Yeah, that really is surprising, yes, because most travelers first associate the Nagoya castle with Nagoya.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is usually, well, the first thing, and in many cases also the only thing that people really do in Nagoya, which I think is really sad. Yeah, I definitely suggest you also check out the train museum, Toyota Museum, and other things that I've mentioned today.
Excellent. Before we start to get to some of our wrap-up questions, do we have other places that you want to direct us to see?
I mentioned a lot of about miso, right?
Yep.
The original place where this Hatcho miso comes from is a little town south of Nagoya, which is called Okazaki, which also happens to be the birthplace of Tokugawa Ieyasu, who was the first shogun in the Tokugawa period.
Okay.
So it's a historically important place, and it's an important place if you're into food. So you could do a short day trip there and experience those two things there.
Okay.
Other places I would recommend are Inuyama, for example, which is just 30 minutes from Nagoya. It has one of the 12 original castles. So Inuyama Castle is made from wood. It's super small and cute, and it has never been destroyed. So that is really cool.
So when I was trying to come up with eight, the number I was really searching for was 12, and it was that they were the original ones instead of the ones that have been rebuilt. Okay.
Yeah,
I see. Okay.
In summer, you can participate in a traditional experience because the Kiso River, which flows through Inuyama, is a place where people used to use cormorants, those birds.
The fishing birds.
They used them to fish for small fish in the rivers. It's a really cool experience. I just did that a couple of weeks ago. So you basically go on the boat and you see a fisherman dressed in a traditional fisherman dress with like a skirt made from weed or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they have about, I don't know, 8 to 10 birds on a leash. And those birds will go diving for fish. And when they have caught a little fish, then the fisherman will get the bird and make it puke out the fish again, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting to see how they do this and to learn a little bit, like, I don't know how they came up with that. And it's just really fascinating. So if you visit Inuyama in the summer month, this is something that might be of interest.
Well, and I don't know if they still read it, but when I was a kid in American elementary school, we read a story about cormorants, and I'm drawing a blank on the name of the book. But it may be something that people have read about when they were little.
Oh, that's so nice. So it mentions this kind of fishing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Wow. I think that wraps it up for the day trips.
Okay.
There are many, many more, but if I mention them all, it's a never-ending story.
A couple questions for you. You mentioned traditions. Particular festivals we should be aware of regarding Nagoya?
Oh, yes. There are festivals throughout the year. So no matter what season you visit, Nagoya is a great place to participate in a couple of festivals. Mm-hmm. In the Osu district, which I have mentioned a couple of times now, there are two festivals, one in summer and one in fall. Those are basically street performers festivals. You will get to see different performances, dances, jugglers, stuff like that, but also traditional things like a procession of, I would say geisha, but yeah, some ladies of that kind of profession. Now that the people who participate are, of course, not of that profession,
okay,
but they wear those really elaborate and expensive kimono, which are very colorful and like 10 layers, weigh 20 kilos. I don't know how much that's in pounds.
A lot.
I don't know.
That is 2.2 pounds per kilo, so something like 44 pounds.
It's really a beautiful procession and very interesting if you're a local and if you're a traveler. So then there are more different summer festivals, like dance festivals. In August, there is a week which is called Obon, which is the time where the ancestors basically come back to visit. And okay, in this week, there are different dance festivals, which are called Bon dances. At many shrines, for example, there will be a place at night where you can join a Bon dance. And Bon dancing is basically, it goes around in circles and you repeat the same kinds of dance moves over and over. So it's basically, it's very simple kind of dances. So if you look what the dancers are doing, then you can figure it out in a minute or two, and then you can join in and have a lot of fun just doing some traditional Japanese dances.
Excellent. And just for the record, I believe that the book that I was trying to come up with is The Story About Ping, the story about a duck in China, but the duck observes fishing birds. And in the story, the birds wear little rings so that they won't swallow the fish, so you don't have to make them cough up the fish again at the end. Anyway, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Some of our wrap-up questions. You're standing in the prettiest spot in Nagoya. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
Okay, I don't know about pretty, but I always find it very impressive to stand outside Nagoya Station at night.
Okay.
With all the skyscrapers around. I don't know, maybe that's because I come from a town where there are no skyscrapers, and in Munich there are also no, the concept doesn't exist. So I always find that very impressive to just stand around tall buildings at night, you know, when there are all the windows all lit up and everything.
Okay. And one thing that makes you laugh and say only in Nagoya.
Well, let's go back to the miso.
Okay.
Because, well, Nagoya is so famous for miso that there is actually this prejudice or the stereotype that people in Nagoya will put miso on everything basically that they
okay
eat. And sometimes it's just true, and my family also likes to put miso on lots of different dishes, so definitely that's something that makes me laugh.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize Nagoya in just three words, what three words would you use?
Underappreciated.
Okay.
Food.
Okay.
And history.
Excellent. And our guest again has been Lena Yamaguchi from NagoyaFoodie.com. And Lena, if we wanted to send people to your best post about Nagoya, where are we going to send them?
Well, I would send them to Things to Do in Nagoya. You can get okay many more ideas about all the things you can do in Nagoya, not only the things I mentioned today. So if you ever plan a trip to Nagoya, that would be the first post I would suggest you check out.
Excellent. We will link to that in the show notes so people can find that either in the show notes at amateurtraveler.com or in the lyrics of the episode you're listening to right now. Lena, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for Nagoya.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
In news of the community, I heard from Mary, who commented on the show we did recently on the Algarve portion of Portugal. She said, I listened to your podcast for years and recommend it all the time. Thank you for continuing to do such an amazing job to teach us all about our world. Just wanted to correct something in the Algarve podcast. The presenter indicated that a point in the Algarve was the most southwestern point in Europe. This is incorrect unless you're talking only about the mainland and not Europe itself. The Azores, an autonomous area of Portugal, is southwest of Algarve and also part of Europe. The Isle of Flores, that was recently impacted by a Category 2 Hurricane Lorenzo, has a village called Faya Grande that is the most southwestern part of Europe. Best, Mary. Mary is correct. I will definitely concede that point. I just didn't think it was worth correcting at the time. But we do have an episode coming up on the Azores shortly. We have done one before, and it has been a number of years. So within the next couple weeks, we'll be talking about the Azores. But with that, we'll end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. Don't forget mytravelcreditcard.com. Join the mailing list and find out what else is going on around the website. And as always, thanks so much for listening. I got to see one more cathedral. I got to sit in one more.